everyone. So, I want this session to be quite interactive. I'm going to try and get you folks to do a bit of work here. So, the door's there if you want to escape quick. So, my name's Andrew. Two things you need to know about me if you weren't in the talk I did earlier on. How to contact me to send me questions, flames, bug fixes, whatever. Second thing is I'm open source manager for the Limo Foundation. Hands up, who knows what Limo Foundation is? Okay, all right. So Limo Foundation is an organization that's creating a middleware open source Linux platform for mobile phones. And it's been going since 2007. It's got a very diverse membership across the entire ecosystem of across the entire mobile ecosystem, including chipset manufacturers like Texas Instruments, handset manufacturers like NEC, Panasonic, Samsung, LG, software companies like Opera, Mozilla, network operators like Vodafone, Orange, and so on. However, everything I say in this room, entirely my own ideas, my own thing, nothing to do with Limo. So, hands up, how many of you have got a Linux-based mobile phone? Okay. Yeah, so raise your hand if you had a Linux-based mobile phone this time last year. Year before that? Okay, before that? Hardcore. No? Okay. Alright, so Limo Foundation's actually been around since 2007. Some of our members have actually got experience of building Linux-based phones going back to 2002 or so. But of course it's not the only Linux-based mobile distro out there. There are a few others. But it's still a relatively sparse landscape compared to the desktop Linux world, where you've got seemingly hundreds of distributions. This is pretty much what you've got in terms of mobile or mobile-based distributions at the moment. Don't know if I've missed anybody. Anyone, feel free to shout out if I have missed anything obvious. But not everyone seems to be building mobile distributions, and it's a bit strange why there's so few mobile distributions out there. Perhaps it's hardware based. Normally when you build a distro, it's just kind of like building Lego. You can take bits from here and there and put it together, but and in actual fact, if you look at the Limo platform, we've kind of taken things from here and there. If you look at GNOME Mobile, we've borrowed quite heavily from that. Some of the challenges that we faced, though, in building a Linux mobile distribution, where to find the latest release of the open source code that we want to use, and in some cases, where to find an older release of the open source code that we use. When you're building mobile phone platforms, you're typically building a mobile phone over the course of a couple of years. So if you think back to, I don't know, 2007, 2008, that's the code that is probably going to be in a lot of mobile phones today. Finding the source code is a challenge. Finding the license that covers the source code is a very big challenge. And actually making sure that you're compliant with the license is a bit of a problem from the mobile perspective. Another challenge is reference hardware from both a platform developer point of view, but also from an open source developer point of view. I had a question in an earlier talk, which was basically, you know, where is the open hardware to go with the open operating system? No one really, apart from OpenMoco, have produced open hardware, so you're not likely to see an open piece of hardware from perhaps Samsung or NEC or Panasonic anytime soon. So how can you build a software platform if you don't have the hardware to build on? And how can you make the phone hardware if you don't have the software? It's a real chicken and egg situation. One solution might be to look at things like BeagleBoard. Although one of the problems that I found is they can actually be quite tricky to track down. So first several weeks when I was trying to get hold of one, the websites where I was trying to order them from were continually saying they're back ordered and you'll have to wait. And in perfect timing for this session, my Beagle board shipped to me today, which is not a big help. If you had reference hardware, how do you actually get it to the right developers? How do we say, okay, we know the open source community are going to build a mobile distribution. Who in the community should actually have the reference hardware? How can we identify them? Any suggestions? I'm happy to hear them. Package management. When you're building a mobile platform, what should you do in terms of package management? Should you use the Debian packaging, the RPM, the Red Hat packaging? Should you just have tidy Zs of all of your platform? We've seen in Lumo, we've seen pretty much every possible packaging mechanism being used that you could imagine. So we've actually seen a platform delivered with all of the packaging mechanisms simultaneously in use, which is a bit bizarre. So I guess what I want to get you guys to talk about, or to talk to me about, is what we should be doing in terms of a mobile distribution. Should there be a mobile distribution, or should it just be another aspect of Debian or Fedora, for example? Do you think there should be a separate mobile distribution? Did someone say no? Why not? Sorry.
So a lot of the things that a distribution does is policy-based, and for a mobile phone, the policy is going to be different for just about every handset that gets created. So it's useful to have a base distribution, perhaps, but it's a lot more useful to have a system where it's easier to create a distribution. So the distribution build tools like Open Embedded, whereby you can define a distribution, you've got base configuration, a base policy, and then people can... that are building these mobile phones can just build on top of that. That's my opinion. But having a Red Hat based distribution or a Debian based distribution is perhaps overkill for a mobile phone.
Okay, overkill in what way? In what sense? Because a mobile phone doesn't need all of those packages, or it's
the use cases are very specific depending on the vendor and the network operator. So the policy varies so much that it's more useful just to be able to create a distribution easily than it is to have a distribution to strip down from. So it's like building blocks starting up rather than stripping down. Well, that, like I say, my opinion.
Okay. All right. Does anyone agree with that? Disagree with that? Well, go for it, Dave. Sorry.
I just say, why not concentrate on where the mobile phone differs from the bog standard laptop or desktop, i.e. use the small screen?
Yeah.
Which, having recently acquired This Is What Mamo have done. And,
yeah.
Should anyone else be focusing on anything other than that, really?
True, yeah. One of the problems with focusing on mobile devices is that you can't just, it's a lot harder to sort of build. You can't build on the device. You've got to build on your desktop and then port stuff across. So, you could develop entirely on the N900, for example, but compilation might take a while, I guess. Yeah, I was thinking that would be quite handy today, actually. So, Dave, do you want?
Thank you. Hi. one of the issues I think that mobile distributions are going to have is that specifically Limo, is that a significant chunk of the platform is not freely redistributable by the users. And until you address that issue, the prospect of a successful mobile community distribution is limited, I would say. What do you think of that? How are you thinking about that issue of trying to make something that you can, that your users can redistribute?
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for that question. So you're quite right that a semi-closed platform is harder to redistribute. I guess the question there is, do we need to redistribute the platform to the users or just the people developing the devices? But there are certainly huge chunks of, well, 70% plus of the Limo platform is open source. So if we're just working with those open source components and forgetting about the closed or proprietary components for the time being, what would we need to do to make that happen? Yeah. Sorry.
You don't get the same level of flexibility in changing them. You can put something bigger and share it without having to ask permission, which allows you to put something.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree. There are enormous benefits to having an entirely open platform, for sure. But this is more, rather than looking at Limo specifically, in a mobile platform in general, what are the sorts of things that we should be looking at? So there was discussion of sort of a policy-based approach, whether it should be stripped down or not. So do you want to just hang on for the microphone?
As a developer,
does it seem to be? I'm not the core developer on SHR distribution that is working for OpenMoco, but I participate a bit, and I wrote an identity application for it. So basically, what I would say there is that, how can that be a question? Of course you want it to be redistributable for everyone, because the inventions will not come from a centralized or from the vendors, but from every free software developer all over the world that can actually build an application. So basically, to me, that is not a question. It's a matter of fact, and everything otherwise will just result in IPAs.
Yeah, I actually completely agree, and this is where the I'm not speaking for my employer bit kicks in. So as an open source person, I totally agree. If you want a platform to be widely adopted, it has to be open. And if you want to benefit from, you know, innovation and bug fixes and so on, it has to be open. So openness is a given requirement for a mobile platform. So moving on from that, are there other things that we should be seeing in a mobile platform? Sorry, I'm losing my voice. Anyone? So should the mobile platform be hosted by an existing distribution, do you think? Should it be a, Debian or Fedora or... Or should it be an entirely separate effort? No opinions?
I think that should be manual.
Okay. Yeah, actually, that's a fair question. Why are there so few mobile distributions? Yeah, could be, I guess. Do you think there will be more mobile distributions now that hardware has caught up with or is, you know, sufficiently powerful to run Linux? Nope. Okay. So are there any other things that you would really like to see in a an open mobile platform? Yeah. So.
Before I speak, I have a small request. Can the microphones be turned up a bit? Because there's a consensus on IRC that we can't hear a thing.
Ah. Is it this microphone or?
Yeah, well, okay. It's both the microphones.
Oh, it's on maximum on here.
It's on, yes.
Ah, okay.
Okay. As far as open platforms go for Linux mobile distributions, one company I've found that's been doing it well recently is Palm. I've saw a few people here that have the Palm Pre and WebOS devices. I have one myself in my pocket as well, yeah. I think they are doing a good job in trying to spearhead the effort of a completely open mobile platform, because they're, well, compared to other companies who are being a bit more closed about it. I remember reading recently about Android, for example, that wasn't completely open because of certain components, although I'm not an Android developer. But at least with Palm WebOS, it's using open standards, things like Octiora and HTML5 and so on, just to develop the applications. So it's a lot more open. I think that with companies like Palm that are notable, we're probably going to start seeing an increase in the number of Linux mobile distributions that we have. I mean, I didn't catch his name there. He said that there was only about four, which was the four that you listed. But I do think that's probably going to start increasing pretty soon.
Okay. So would you expect Palm to open up their platform as well?
Well, their platform already is very open. They provide a number of developer tools to just access the raw Linux platform that's underlying. They don't try and hide behind the APIs and SDKs that they provide. They do allow you to just do what you want with it. They basically provide developer tools and say, there you go, have fun. Mm-hmm. And we're probably going to start seeing more of that.
Well, now that's more to build on top of the platform. There's that's not so much to actually work on the platform itself, is there? So it's, you can't go and download the Palm WebOS source right now and compile it yourself and flash it onto a Palm phone.
That's true, yeah, but I'm hoping that it's going to evolve a bit, and we're going to see, like I said, other companies try and follow suit. And because Palm are taking the first step and allowing end users to access the operating system that their phone is running on, which is perhaps a bit more important than developers just accessing it, because developers have been able to do that in all platforms for a long time. For the end user to have that much access to their own operating system, it's probably going to start leading the way to a truly open Linux mobile platform.
Okay, that's a good comment, actually, an interesting thing. And do you think the users are more interested in the platform because of the use of open standards and the openness?
There's probably not many users who would consider an open platform to be a selling point. Obviously, developers would consider that to be a selling point. As far as end users go, at the moment, they don't really care all that much. But in the Mozilla talk earlier on, it was being said that we need to start giving users choice. We need to start informing them of their options. Mm-hmm. And that's something that can translate over into mobile platforms as well.
Okay. All right. One of the guys there was shaking his head about Palm opening the code, I think.
Yeah, someone was laughing at me.
Ah, okay.
Lots of people were laughing at me.
What's your view on, well, not just Palm, but other mobile companies opening up the source to their platform?
Okay, I'm open embedded developer, and so I was first impressed as I read someone, the first WebOS images was available, and someone looked into it and said, oh, we used Open Embedded to build the whole thing. So I was a little bit impressed. But when in But when the story goes on, and as you know, Harald Welte has to make some pressure, so we open up the patches and the sources we already have in Open Embedded because of the GPL violations.
Okay. Okay.
So, and so I don't think we will open some more of the stuff. We even don't give us something back, open the Reef site, we only put the sources and the patches we already have in Open Embedded on the site. Okay.
So are you saying that publishing the source and patches is not enough? They should do something more? What should they do?
I don't know what that descent is, if you can get a root shell on a Palm Pre, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. So you can.
If I may, okay. I believe Joy has also said on it, put on his blog something about Palm actually having a backdoor on a Palm Pre or something. I don't recall the exact details, but there was something nasty going on there with Palm doing stuff they really should be doing, and he blogged about it, and it got in the press, and then they changed it. I don't recall the details, but it was pretty nasty.
The free smartphone people are trying to port the free smartphone infrastructure to the Palm machine. So basically, you can use the phone and free software stack completely, but it's still on infancy. So we need your help.
Okay. Yeah. So. One of the things that Limo has just done is published a list of all of the open source that's used in the Limo platform, and one of the things they're starting to, or we will be starting to do, is publish patches. But is there anything further that could be done to help the open source community from that point of view, other than opening the rest of the source, which is not an option? Dave, hang on.
How about helping developers working for mobile companies to be better open source citizens, to be better software citizens, and you know, open up a little bit more, because you know, most of them aren't.
Okay. Yeah. Agreed. One of the challenges for mobile phone companies, for example, is that actually they're working on a platform in a completely different language to their native language. I know this is something that that is a challenge in, you know, open source software development in general, but if we look at Samsung, for example, their team are all based in Korea, they're all talking Korean. We've actually seen instances where bugs go through a system and at some point get translated so that the development team can deal with them, and then they get translated back into English to report back to the outside world. So I think the challenge with introducing open source, getting companies to be better citizens, is actually probably more than teaching them how to deal with open source communities. It's actually a question of a massive language barrier as well. So I think in a lot of open source projects, English is a fairly commonly used language. For them, that's just not an option. And this goes for many of the handset manufacturers. But yeah, I take your point that they need to get involved.
On the language issue,
hang on, do you want to wait for the mic? Sorry.
It was right here. On the language issue, it's an interesting question, because I guess it's one that's not limited to mobile distributions. Any suggestions? And that's for the room. Any suggestions on how we can better engage African, South American, and Asian software developers?
Anyone? Any ideas on how we deal with the language barrier in facilitating open source and open platforms? Sorry, can you use the microphone there?
Yeah. I think open source does a lot better with that than than most of the rest of the world, we create a framework whereby people can contribute in different languages, and they do. Mm-hmm. I point to the project I'm best known for, Apache HTTPD, in that we've got a documentation framework that encourages translations, and periodically we get one, and it drops on us completely out of the blue sometimes. Likewise, if you have a book, you suddenly hear on the grapevine that someone has translated it.
Yeah.
And this is happening in the world. It's all it's a model not unlike the open source model of software that once you've written something, people will work on it.
Yeah.
Yes, the actual development community happens in English, which we do, and which is still a barrier. I guess what I'm trying to say is I thought about this in some depth when I got someone asked out of the blue completely, asked me to write, would I do an intro for the Chinese translation of my book?
Right.
So I wrote something about what an honour it was to be translated into such an important new language and probably the biggest community of non-English speakers around, and hoped we could bridge the gap for them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So so perhaps openness is the answer to one answer to solving the translation troubles. Is anyone from OpenMoCo here?
No.
So.
OpenMoCo. Sorry, I was not following.
Apparently. Yeah. So I was just going to say. So one of the other things, though, is that although open hardware is often considered a prerequisite for an open platform, it doesn't necessarily always work, I guess. And is it more a question that volume shipments or mass consumer adoption will drive an open platform more than the open hardware, do you think?
The major problem, I think, is that there's no software that works except the MIMO one.
Right.
I mean, I bought my OpenMoCo 2 years ago. We ported Debian on it. It's not really porting. We adapted Debian on it, and still it's quite difficult to use Debian on it, as well as SHR. Sometimes you miss some calls. Sometimes the phone doesn't respond anymore. I never use anything other than the OpenMoCo. Mm-hmm. But at least the OpenMoCo is available for everyone. So
yeah,
I don't think it's a problem of the platform itself. There are too many choices, actually.
Okay.
So that's probably the real problem.
Okay. Okay. So has anyone else got any suggestions on what we can do to build an open mobile platform? Should we all work with MIMO, or
tell the press about a world-changing device. What's for Apple every time they launch something new?
Yep.
Tell all the press that we have this world-changing device, the sort of thing that works for Apple every time they have something new, and to a slightly lesser extent, Google's
The Nexus One.
Big press.
Yeah. Okay.
It's what. Get the Americans in it. It's what they're good at.
Okay. All right. I guess if no one else has any other comments, we can draw to a close a little bit early there. I think that's actually. Yeah. So. I guess basically, open hardware is not necessarily the solution, but. It does enable certain freedoms. An open platform is a good thing. Open standards on the open platform is even better. And if anyone's got any suggestions on how we can actually facilitate more open mobile distributions, then please give me a shout and tell me what we can do.
So actually, I've got a question for you. obviously, if you're trying to reconcile the entire Linux distribution, create one standard for all these devices, you do need to be concerned about different chips, different display resolutions, different keyboard, different interrupts, all sorts of differentness.
Yeah.
What have you guys done to, say, create the device dependent dependent and the device independent layer, so that you have, I assume you're building a standard interface through all these different devices, right?
Sort of, yeah. So that's a good point, actually, because the whole device independence or working on multiple different types of hardware has been kind of solved in the desktop world by having, you know, builds for different platforms and so on. I guess the challenge in the mobile world is that you have to build on a desktop and then cross-compile for the hardware that you're aiming for.
Well, inherently, that's the difference between Intel-based computers and ARM, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a whole different...
So, to a certain extent, we're kind of lucky in that that's partly been solved by the Linux kernel. So we're the Limo platform sits above the kernel, but below the UI layer. So we're purely middleware at this point. So it's, you know... It's then up to each of the manufacturers that take the platform to just compile for, you know, whatever their target device is. So the Limo platform itself doesn't actually solve that that issue or address that issue.
So you basically take Limo and you give it to Samsung, to NEC, to Motorola, and they implement it on their devices.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you replace the software layer that they've poorly developed with a standard one. Okay.
And then if they do anything that's specific to their device, the expectation is that they would then contribute that back so that others using similar chipsets, for example, could benefit from that.
Okay.
Does that actually happen?
It's early days yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, theoretically, the Palm Pre could be supported by Limo.
Palm could come along to us and say, we'd like to use your operating system, and we'd be happy to help them. That'd be great. Okay, all right. If there's no other questions, I'd just like to say thank you all, and